On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How can you read it?" So starts our gospel reading this week. What must I do to inherit eternal life? In reply, Jesus ends up telling one of the best short stories ever narrated to the world, the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, this week, I've had the privilege of doing 5 school assemblies, and in each school assembly, I have done about the parable of the Good Samaritan. I've been to St. Martin's, haven't I, guys?
Yeah.
And what did you have to do with them? Who came with me to St. Martin's?
Goldie
came with me to St. Martin's. Well, it just so happens that for once, and once only hoping that you would be in church today, I thought we would introduce Goldie to the congregation.
Yes!
So this is Goldie. And Goldie is my special friend who comes with me to do school assemblies sometimes. Not all the time, because sometimes Goldie's they want to know about Goldie more than they want to know about Jesus. So, Goldie has to be restricted on when he comes to be with school, when he doesn't. And what do you usually do when Goldie's with you?
Eat biscuits.
He what?
He eats biscuits.
He eats biscuits, yes! He does eat biscuits. Goldie is sort of my alter ego, in that Goldie can be a bit naughty on occasions. And we say to Goldie that he shouldn't do things, and Goldie doesn't share very well, so he eats biscuits. So I brought him today so you could see him. Thank you for coming to church, and thank you, Goldie, for coming to church as well. So that's Goldie. But also within the school assembly, I got people to do the action, so we went walking, we went down the winding road, and we did, and when I said donkey, you said?
Me-oh.
That's right! And when I said donkey, then everybody went, me-oh. So we're going to do the same now. No, we're not. Don't worry. I can see you all beginning to quake, you're like my youngest daughter. Any form of audience participation, Ellen picks up the news there. Okay, so please don't ask me, Dad, to do anything. No, with the fucker, Dad, audience participation. But it is the strength of the parable that you can tell it and retell it and retell it in so many ways. We have the person lying in the ditch, calling out for help. And we've got the people walking past. And it's told in answer to a question of somebody who's trying to trip Jesus up. What must I do to inherit eternal life? This person, this expert of the law, Luke tells us, is there and is trying to catch Jesus out. But of course, Jesus turns the tables on the people, on the person who's there. Jesus tells us this story. Now, lots of commentaries are written, and all these very clever people write these commentaries, and they write about, you know, that actually the priest would have been unclean if they'd gone up to the person in the ditch. And the social reasons why the priest and the Levite couldn't actually go and attend the person in the roadside. But that misses the point completely. Because to me, Jesus is saying, those things don't count anymore. With Jesus' love, this is the new law. This is the way it is. So those constraints that were on us before should not be there. They are actually doing the wrong thing, the priest and the Levite. It is as simple as that. They should have gone over to help. And then it is the person, the sworn enemy of the man lying in the ditch going, help, help, who goes over to help the person and ends up putting him on his donkey to take him to be looked after and cared for. And at that point, we can put ourselves in the place of somebody who is in the ditch. We'd be so grateful for that person to come and help us. In that case, we can put ourselves in the person who is the Good Samaritan, having done the right thing, going over to help the person in the ditch. And we can also put ourselves in the place of the priest and the Levite. And perhaps those are the most difficult positions to put ourselves in. But we should, when we read the parable, we should think about where have we behaved like the priest and the Levite. When have we crossed over to the other side of the road? When have we heard people calling out for help and we haven't done it? And who are our neighbours? Who are the people in the ditch today? Sometimes people ask about, you know, where are people to help in the neighbourhoods that we live in our communities, in the things that we see on the news, and the wider world. And people say, well, why should we worry about what is going on in the wider world when there is so much that needs to be done here around us? And I agree, there is so much that needs to be done in our neighbourhoods, in our communities, but that doesn't negate the help that we need to give our neighbours all around the world. When God looks at the world, God doesn't see county boundaries. God doesn't see borders. God doesn't see those things. Well, he does see these things, and I'm sure they grieve him because he sees division and things split up. Whereas what Jesus is telling us is that we need to work beyond these things, that we have a responsibility to all people. God looks at our world and sees one world. So where are we as individuals? Where are we helping those people? Where are we as a church? What times has the church as an institution actually crossed the road and gone to the other side when it should have gone out to help all the people? And who are the people lying in the ditch today? And who are the people who are calling out for help? Jesus tells us that everyone is our neighbour. We need to work through things, not be held back by social norms and acceptabilities, but actually go and be there for all people and to hear their cries. And this is his answer to how do I inherit eternal life? What must I do to inherit eternal life? The expert in the law asks Jesus, and Jesus answers that it is to go and be with and help the person in the ditch, whoever they are, wherever they are. Full stop.